"You are sure," I said, "that there was a thief?" He said dryly, "Well, it looks like it, doesn't it?" But something in his tone satisfied me. I felt he wouldn't take Mr. Saunders and the role of the bereaved widower too seriously. "You see, I admit it frankly, I was absolutely under the opinion of what I believe our neighbours, the French, call the idée fixe. I knew that that man, Saunders, intended his wife to die. What I didn't allow for was that strange and fantastic thing, coincidence. My views about Mr. Saunders were, I was sure of it, absolutely right and true. The man was a scoundrel. But although his hypocritical assumptions of grief didn't deceive me for a minute, I do remember feeling at the time that his surprise and bewilderment were marvellously well done. They seemed absolutely natural, if you know what I mean. I must admit that after my conversation with the inspector, a curious feeling of doubt crept over me, because if Saunders had done this dreadful thing, I couldn't imagine any conceivable reason why he should creep back by means of the fire escape and take the earrings from his wife's ears. It wouldn't have been a sensible thing to do, and Saunders was very much a sensible man. That's just why I always felt he was so dangerous. Miss Marple looked round at her audience. "You see, perhaps, what I'm coming to? It is so often the unexpected that happens in this world. I was so sure, and that, I think, was what blinded me. The result came as a shock to me, for it was proved beyond any possible doubt that Mr. Saunders could not possibly have committed the crime." A surprised gasp came from Mrs. Bantry. Miss Marple turned to her. "I know, my dear, that isn't what you expected when I began this story. It wasn't what I expected, but facts are facts, and if one is proved to be wrong, one must just be humble about it and start again. That Mr. Saunders was a murderer at heart, I knew, and nothing ever occurred to upset that firm conviction of mine."